Now, if you would turn again to the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy and reading the whole of that chapter once more. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and reading the whole of the chapter. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab onto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead on to Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. And no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. The children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. In these last and final verses of this book of Deuteronomy that we read this morning, we have a closing word of testimony concerning the Lord's servant Moses. In the first few opening verses of the chapter, you remember, we're told about Moses going up the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, where God showed him all the land of Canaan into which the children of Israel were just about to enter. But where he also reminded him, of course, that he himself would not be entering into that land. In the next set of verses from verse 5 to verse 7, we're told about the death of Moses and how God himself buried the body of Moses somewhere in the land of Moab. And then in the verses that follow on from that again, how the people wept for Moses and how Joshua was then appointed in the leadership over the nation in those days. For 40 years now, Moses had led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and onward toward the land of Canaan. But the time had now come for Moses to die, and he died and was buried somewhere in that land of that day. It was no ordinary death, of course, in that sense that Moses died, because the Lord had told him that he was going to die and where he was going to die. And certainly it was no ordinary burial, as the Lord himself took in hand to bury the body of Moses in an unmarked grave that no man or no woman would ever know about. And over the past few weeks then, in the course of our sermons, we've looked at each of those events in turn: Moses being shown the land, Moses' death and burial, the days of mourning for Moses, and the appointment of Joshua in his place. And as I say then, for this morning, the closing word of testimony concerning the Lord's servant. Now, what the words are, of course, or what they set before us, in reality, is the Holy Spirit's epitaph with regards to the Lord's dear servant. There's no known grave for Moses. There's no headstone that the children of Israel raised up and put some inscription on it, but this is the Holy Spirit's inscription with regards to the Lord's dear servant. Just when the words were written, it's impossible to say. But eventually, when at least a good many other prophets had risen up in the land of Israel, the Holy Spirit of God took up one of his own servants at that time and set down on record that there had not risen a prophet in Israel like unto Moses. A greater than Moses, of course, was to come, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great prophet of our God. But until he did come into this world of ours, then you have these words concerning Moses, which stood and which stand, that up to that point there had not risen in the land of Israel a greater prophet than Moses. So very simply for this morning, two straightforward points. Moses in his person as a prophet, and Moses as prophetic of the prophet who was to come, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to see those two things to begin with, you really need to turn back to chapter 18 of this book of Deuteronomy and to some words that were given there in verse 15 of that chapter. Deuteronomy 18 and at verse 15. The Lord thy God, and Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, to him ye shall hearken, according to all that those thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. The Lord's servant Moses in those words, in fact, is referring back to something, and he's referring forward to something, or rather referring forward to someone. And what he's referring back to is that day when they had been brought out of the land of Egypt, over the Red Sea, through the valley of Rephidim, and had eventually come to the mountain of Sinai. And God, of course, was going to speak to them, give them his law and all the ways in which they were to go. And in fact, he began to do that from the mountain of Sinai itself. When the Lord began to speak from Sinai, however, the mountain began to tremble. And when the people saw that, they could not abide to hear the voice of the Lord their God directly coming to them. And so they went to Moses, and they asked Moses that he would speak to them in the place of God, in the behalf of God, because they couldn't endure to hear the direct voice of the Lord their God coming to them. And so as the Lord heard the thing that was asked, and it was well spoken, as he said, then Moses became God's spokesman, God's prophet to the nation of Israel all their lifetime, or all his lifetime thereafter. He became the mediator, as it says, of the new covenant. He became the one through whom God spoke his word and told his words to the children of Israel in those days. And God would speak to them, mediate his will and his purpose to them, through this man, Moses, the prophet of the Lord. Now, Moses, you remember, as our Lord Jesus Christ said, was the one who wrote of him, and indeed the one who spoke of him. But in that sense, he didn't only write of Christ and speak of Christ. He showed Christ. He showed what Christ was to be. You know that there are people on the Old Testament scriptures of the Word of God, and they are those who show forth our Lord Jesus Christ in some aspects of our Lord's life. You take the man Isaac. He's a great type of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Christ would willingly give himself up to the death of the cross. Isaac willingly stretched himself out on that altar that day. He could have overcome his father Abraham with his strength, because Abraham was an old man, but he didn't. He willingly laid himself down on the altar. And when Christ would come to be our Saviour, he would willingly give himself to the death of the cross. Joseph is a great type of Christ. As Joseph reserved or preserved the life of that family for that time, Christ would come into this world. Indeed, to give life and preserve life for all his people. David is a great type and shadow of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King, the one who was to come. And Moses is a great type and shadow of our Lord Jesus Christ in his person as the prophet of God. They were all imperfect types, of course, but at the same time, they showed forth something concerning Christ. Moses did that in many ways. He was Israel's lawgiver and guide and leader and shepherd and redeemer and savior in all of those earthly ways. But above all things, he was God's spokesman. He was the one who would come and speak to them the things that they needed to know from the Lord their God. He was the mediator, as the Lord's apostle says, of the old covenant, the old arrangement that God had made with those people in those days. He would stand between them and God, and he would tell them the things that they needed to know as from the Lord their God. And there never was a prophet after Moses like that, in that sense, as he was that mediator. It was Moses, or through Moses, that God told the people what was required of them, and God told the people what was provided for them. And what was provided for them, of course, especially, was their place with the Lord their God. Told them about the tabernacle, told them about the sacrifices that were to be made in the tabernacle, told them about the priests who would offer those sacrifices unto the Lord their God. God told Moses to tell the people, to speak to the people, those things that were being given to them. Tell them to make me a sanctuary wherein my honor will dwell. Tell them the kind of sacrifices that I require from them. Tell them that I am providing for them a high priest. That's how God had ordained it. There was one man in particular through whom God spoke his word, and that was the man Moses. And when the word of God tells us then about this man Moses, that there had arisen not a prophet in Israel since, like unto Moses, who knew God face to face, it was all of that that's set before us in thinking about Moses as the prophet of the Lord. He wrote of Christ, and he spoke of Christ, and he showed forth Christ. And how he showed him forth especially was as the one who spoke God's word to the people. If you look at all of those old ways in which God dealt with Israel through Moses, you can say that Moses erected the tabernacle where he would meet with them. He appointed the priesthood. He prescribed the sacrifices. But Christ is the sacrifice and the tabernacle and the priesthood and the prophet. The one prophet who was to come, whom Moses set forth in all the way that he did. And as he spoke to the children of Israel that day, as from the Lord their God, he was indeed pointing them back the way to when he was appointed the great prophet in Israel. Don't let God speak to us directly, they said, but you speak to us. And in that way then, the Lord's servant became the one who was the prophet in the nation of Israel. But of course, he wasn't only pointing back the way, he was pointing forward the way as well. And when he speaks then in that particular chapter, and he says, the Lord thy God will raise unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. That's future. Not pointing backwards to what happened with himself when God made him the prophet of Israel for those days. He's pointing forward to the one who would be the prophet of God in all the fullness of what that prophetic office was to be. God will raise up one like him in some ways, but unlike him in many ways. He will raise him up, he says, from among their brethren. And he did that. He was born into the nation of Israel. He was an Israelite according to the flesh. But his home and his origin were never of this earth, They were in eternity and in heaven in glory with the Father from eternal ages. And Moses, you see, and this is what makes him great in his prophetic office. In his prophetic office, he prophesied of the prophet who was to come. Indeed, there had never been a prophet in Israel like unto Moses. And as he spoke of our Lord Jesus Christ, then he was speaking of the one who was to come, the prophet, the great prophet of our God. And in those words, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Now, that's a lovely word. And indeed, the Lord knew Moses in that way. You read of those occasions where the Lord brought Moses into his presence, and he knew him not face to face in the sense that he saw the face of God, because no man can see the face of God and live. But he knew him as a friend. He knew him in that intimate fashion, face to face. But the prophet who was to come knew the Father face to face in all the fullness of that in eternity and glory forever. That's where he was. He was raised up from among the brethren. He was like unto Moses in some respects, but unlike Moses, because his origin was not in this world, but in heaven and glory. And as you read through the scriptures of the Word of God, the unfoldings of Christ as the great prophet of our God, my friends, what a truth it is that we're to hold to our hearts and our souls, that God isn't silent, but God, as he had sent one to Israel in that day to reveal his word to those people, the prophet Moses, has sent one to reveal his will by the prophet who was to come, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. You can take up virtually any passages of the Word of God, and you see the fullness of how Christ came to be our prophet. In that Gospel of John that we've been reading from in the mornings, the very first opening verses of that chapter, chapter 1 of that Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You see, what an appropriate title for our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God. The one through whom God would tell forth his truth and the things that we need to know. All the fullness, of course, in that description as being the Word who was with God and was God and is God indeed. But in simply looking to him as the great prophet of our God, what an appropriate title, the Word of God. The one whom the apostle says in the opening verse of the epistle to the Hebrews, in divers manners God spoke in olden times through the prophets, in these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son. And his Son is the final spokesman for all who would ever believe in his name. And further on in that opening chapter of John's Gospel, well-known words in verse 15, John, that's John the Baptist, bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He has shown him forth. He has told us what God is. He has manifested him, exegeted him, that great word is. The law was given by Moses, that supreme prophet in those Old Testament days, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that the law wasn't true, or indeed that there wasn't grace in the law of God, but it simply means that when Christ came, he took all that was in the law and all that had been spoken forth in the law, and showed the fullness of it for our souls and for our salvation. We've just sung those lovely words of Isaac Watts, his wondrous works and ways he did by Moses known, but sent the world his truth and grace by his beloved Son. He was the great prophet in those days, but he showed forth the prophet who was to come. He was in the bosom of the Father, it says. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Moses knew him face to face, but Christ was there from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Whatever beginning you want to take, Christ was there. And he was there until he stepped forth out of eternity into time for us to declare the Father and to tell us all that we would ever need to know. Later on again in John's Gospel, the Lord tells Nicodemus, "We speak that which we know and testify that which we have seen." He came forth from the presence of God to speak the things of God to our hearts and our souls. Later on again, he tells those Pharisees, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Ye are of your father, the devil." And Christ was to come, and Moses knew that Christ was to come. He spoke of him, and he knew the one of whom he was speaking. "The Lord shall raise you up a prophet, him shall ye hear." And that was Moses' prophetic words concerning the prophet who was to come, and he came, and has now come, and is still with us by his word, to speak all the things that we need to know for our eternal well-being. You see, there was one message, one supreme message that the prophet spoke, our Lord Jesus Christ. He preached many things. I was just reading recently about the Bible, and it says the Bible isn't a book that tells us many things about some things, but it tells us everything about the one thing that we need to know. And our Lord Jesus Christ spoke about many things, and he preached about many things. But there was one thing above all others that our Lord Jesus Christ preached and spoke about as the prophet of his God, our God, and that was the salvation of men and women's never-dying souls. Christ was forever preaching about the salvation of men and women's never-dying souls. When he began to preach, we're told that was the case. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." As soon as Christ opened his mouth to preach, my friends, as the prophet of God, he preached the gospel. He preached that men and women must needs be saved. And constantly and continually, this prophet of ours was setting that one supreme truth before men and women's hearts and souls. And many, many times when he told the disciples, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is going to be taken and put to death and rise again the third day." As he tells that man, Nicodemus, in those well-known words in John chapter 3, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And later on again, you remember in John chapter 12, he says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men on to me." This he spake, it says, signifying what death he should die. And he was always preaching about his death and his rising again. Christ was preaching one supreme message as the prophet of God who had come into the world to be our Saviour. And when he came, the prophet, he spoke the message that had been given to him to speak as from our Father in heaven above. And that's a supreme example for any of us, my friends, who would ever take on to speak in the name of Christ or preach in the name of Christ, that we preach and speak what Christ spoke and preached supremely, that he had come to be the Savior. That was the prophet's message, that he had come to be the Savior and procure salvation, that there might be a gospel to preach. And there's something else with regards to our Lord Jesus Christ in that capacity in which he is set before us. That was his supreme message before he came into the world. When he came into the world, he preached one message supremely, and that was the gospel of our soul's salvation. And before he came into the world, it was that same message that he preached or caused to be preached. If you take up a passage like the first epistle of Peter in chapter 1, where the Lord's apostle is telling those believers in the region of Pontus and Galatia and so forth about their salvation in Jesus Christ, their Savior. He says then in verse 10, with regards to this salvation, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. How did all the prophets of Israel prophesy? How did they tell forth and foretell the things that were to be concerning the Christ of God who was to come? Well, says Peter, by the Holy Spirit of God, they did it through the Spirit of Christ that was in them. The Spirit of Christ dwelling within them and working within them, testifying beforehand the things that should be concerning him. They themselves, you see, at those points in the unfolding of this salvation of God, they didn't fully comprehend the things that they were prophesying about. They knew in part. They understood in part. They inquired and they searched diligently, says the apostle, but for all that, they didn't know the fullness. But even at that, it was the Spirit of Christ that was in them, telling them about those things that were to be. In other words, you see, the prophet, it was him who was in all the prophets by his Spirit, guiding them what to say and what to write with regards to himself. And what did they say? What did they speak supremely? Well, says Peter, they testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus, they were absolutely dejected that Christ had been taken away and put to death. He was a prophet. That's what they said. Mighty in word and deed, and we trusted that he would have redeemed Israel. Oh, slow of heart. All that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. All the prophets who spoke about Christ spoke about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. How did they do that? By the Spirit of Christ who was in them. And my friends, grasp that. So sometimes it's things that have to drop into our hearts, that here was Christ by his Spirit throughout all the ages of this world, taking up all the prophets that spoke about his sufferings and the glory that was to follow. He was in them, telling them, showing them, guiding them, that that's exactly what they were to write and what they were to speak. They didn't do it of themselves. It wasn't some kind of a conception that they had in their own hearts and minds. The Spirit of Christ that was in them testified beforehand, what? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. And you see, when we read in Isaiah 53, he is despised and forsaken of men. All we like sheep have gone astray. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's not simply Isaiah the prophet speaking. That's the supreme prophet speaking through the prophet Isaiah with the supreme message concerning himself. In the 22nd Psalm, when it says, they pierced my hands and my feet, that's not the prophet David speaking those things. That's the spirit of the prophet in David speaking those things. The sufferings of the Christ and the glory that should follow. Or Zechariah, or any of the prophets, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered abroad. That's the prophet, the spirit of the prophet, in that old prophet, testifying the things that should come, that he should suffer and enter into his glory. In the world, our prophet preached one supreme message. Before the world, through the prophets, he preached one supreme message. And that message was our salvation through him for all who would ever believe, to the glory of his name. And what about our response to that message, to all the words of the prophet? And the response, I'm sure, should go without saying. Hear him. Hearken unto him. It shall come to pass, indeed, says the Lord through Moses in that place, that they shall hearken unto me, and unto him who shall not hearken unto me, I will require it of him. And Moses' words were to be heard by those people, because ultimately they were God's words. And Christ's words are to be heard by each and every one of us, because they are God's words, by token of him being the one who was sent from God and the one who is very God, a very God. Unto him shall ye hearken. What God told there way back in those days, surely, my friends, it belongs to us today. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, when our Lord Jesus Christ spoke about his death, the sufferings and the death, and when the voice of the Father came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Hear him. Don't close up your ears to him, but hear him. And he will be our beloved Saviour when we hear him. And of course, hearing him entails obeying him, believing him, receiving him. First of all, as our Lord and Saviour to begin with, and then as the one who sanctifies our souls all the days of our life. You see, it's the totality of the message of the prophet that we're to hear, to make him the prophet indeed to our souls. There were a lot of people in Israel in the days of Christ, when Christ was on the earth, that would have had Christ as the prophet, provided he had only been a prophet in that sense. But of course, he was more than that. He was a prophet with a message that they were to hear. And not to hear the message was the damnation of their souls forever. The title Christ, or the Christ, the Anointed One. In the nation of Israel, as you know, there were three types of persons anointed: the prophets and the priests and the king. And Christ was to be all. And if he had only come as a prophet speaking to people a lot of interesting things, well, they would have received him. They would have received him as a king. In fact, when he performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, they wanted to make him a king. But when this prophet began to speak in priestly terms about a sacrifice of himself being made for sin, that was a different matter altogether. and that prophet with that message, they wouldn't have in any way. And of course, as our Lord spoke along those lines in that John chapter 6, where they would have made him a king, it's there that he goes on to speak about him being not just a prophet who had come to speak interesting things, nor a king that was to rule in some earthly fashion. He began to speak in priestly terms. I am the bread of life, and the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall offer up for the sins of the world. From that point, many didn't want to hear the prophet ever again. But thankfully, there were those who did want to hear the prophet. To whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the word of eternal life. And Moses, well, it's a good testimony that's born concerning him. Surely it is, and we couldn't say anything other. There wasn't one raised up in Israel like unto Moses, who knew God face to face. There was never anybody who had a death and a burial like Moses. But far and beyond Moses, there was a prophet who was to come. And Moses knew that. Moses knew that he was speaking about Christ. There's me. There's me, he says. I'm a prophet. Way back at that day at Mount Horeb, when you couldn't bear to hear the voice of God directly, God gave you me as a prophet. As a prophet. But, he says, God's going to raise up a prophet like unto me, but him shall you hear. And if you don't hear that prophet, I will require it from you. And when Christ came into the world, he came, the prophet of our God, to speak the word of God, the words of eternal life, but all the eternity of life that would be given to those who believed would come through him laying down his life, that there might be life for his people forever. Now we're going to close. We've ended up speaking, I suppose, more about Christ than about Moses, more about the prophet than Moses the prophet. But I don't think Moses would mind, because Moses glorified the Christ, the prophet who was to come. And as he wrote of Christ and spoke of Christ, he knew that he was writing and speaking about the Christ who would appear in God's own appointed time. And you know, on that day, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Christ, Elijah and Moses came down together, you know what Moses did? He stood and heard the prophet speaking. And the prophet spoke about one thing, his death that he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And surely that must have rejoiced the old prophet's heart to hear the prophet of which he had spoken, speaking to him about the supreme thing that he had come into the world to accomplish. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Just think of it, my friends. What if that baby had been thrown into the waters of the river Nile instead of being rescued by Pharaoh's daughter out of the waters of the river Nile? Just think. But that didn't happen, because God had a will and a purpose to perform in his servant Moses. And Moses performed it faithfully. And God performed his will through him to the glory of his own name. And everything, my friends, that the Lord has ordained, he will accomplish. He did it through Christ when he came to begin with. And he will go on doing it until Christ shall come. Jesus is coming. Sound the glad word. And you pray this day that you have heard his voice in the gospel, And for any of us, pray this day that we have a capacity to go on hearing the prophet who speaks to us until we're brought into heaven and into glory to his praise. Amen.